on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Yes, just gone 10:30 on a Monday. It might be a public holiday, but we keep our regular ship up with Going Greyhounds every Monday. Last week, of course, Dave Carlson said goodbye to us. He has left Sky, and we welcome in a brand new host of Going Greyhounds every Monday. He loves the world. He lives and breathes every moment of the day with greyhound racing, and it's race caller John Brash. John, welcome to the Sky Sports Radio team.
Andrew, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be with you guys on Sky Sports Radio, and we'll take it with both hands. And we thank Dave for his contribution over the last few years and a dawning of a new era with myself taking over Going Greyhounds today. So, Andrew, a big good time to come in as well. Of course, we've got the Million Dollar Chase series continuing and on to the spring in Adelaide with the heats of the Adelaide Cup this week, and then on to Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup and Top Gun coming up in a few weeks' time. So, yeah, thank you very much, Andrew, for your kind welcome.
No, fantastic. Great to have you a part of the team. And just in 20 or 30 seconds, because Adam Crouch is online, but just for our listeners that may not know, you know, we hear you, but your family is very much strongly involved in greyhound racing for many, many years.
Yes, my brother David, and many people would know my brother David. He was a journalist and continues to be, writing for the various publications around Australia, and also a trainer himself, living in New South Wales now. He saw the light, Andrew, and moved to New South Wales himself about 6 years ago, and I started broadcasting back in 1983 up the straight at Capella Bar. Was lucky enough to get a position at Radio 4BC back in 1985. And when Radio 4TAB started race broadcasting, I was lucky enough to transfer over there in 1991 and been here ever since. And it's all sort of starting to happen for me now, with Paul Dolan retiring in the last couple of weeks, have taken over the number one role as far as race calling is concerned here in Queensland, and also taking up the position here on Sky Sports Radio.
No, it's fantastic to have you with us. All right, I'll let you rock and roll through your first one. And as I say, Adam Crouch is online, ready to go for you.
All righty, thank you. We'll concentrate first of all on the Million Dollar Chase. Of course, we wrapped up the regional finals over the last 7 days or so. But just recapping Wentworth Park on Saturday night, we had five heats there. The first heat was taken out by Despacito for Shona Thompson in 29.86, defeating the Queenslander Morris Minor for Tom Zavellis, and Lagoon Pirate for Sharon Webster, 29.86 for Despacito. Poke the Bear for Shona Thompson scored in 29.51, a very impressive victory, defeating Bucks Future for Sid Swain and Sky Wave Vic Sultana. And the third heat there, an upset to Ermine Bale for Andrea Daly in 30.02, defeating the Golden Easter Egg winner and Uphill Jill, and Mapunga Bella was third. The fourth heat was won by Dinah Zesty for Andrea Daly, giving Andrea a double, 29.97, defeating Nangar Flash and Reader's Boy. And the fifth and final heat at Wendy on Saturday night was taken out by the Victorian, rounding out a big night again for the Victorians. My Redeemer for Dave Gill in 29.67 was able to wear down the national sprint champion in West Onogie for Robbie Britton, and Sunburn Highway for Judith Richardson was third. There's another four heats at Wentworth Park next Saturday night. At the Gardens on Friday, they had their regional final. The first two go through there to the semi-finals. Elusive Wave for Vic Sultana was able to score in a blistering 29.43, defeating the Jason McKay train True Talent. Back last Monday at Nowra, we had the regional final there, and Zipping Ethics for Dave Smith in 30.10. The story goes that Dave rang up to nominate for the meeting when they were short of nominations, and he was just going to put it in a normal graded race, Zipping Ethics, but the club told him they were short of noms for the Million Dollar Chase, so he decided to go in that, and with good results, taking out the final there on last Monday in 30.10, defeating Bogan Dooney for Neil Stain, so they go through to the semi-finals as well. Well, on Friday night at Richmond, they had their regional final, and it was considered a clash there between Zipping Bailey, also Jamila Jett, and also Bimini. They were the, Jamila Jett, Zipping Falcon, and Zipping Bailey. They were considered the favourites, but it was big butters for Andrew Crouch, who was successful there, defeating Zipping Bailey, and we might have a listen back to the replay of the regional final from Richmond on Friday night.
Racing, Zipping Bailey walked out and Big Butters came out like a torpedo. Straight to the lead by three over Awesome Catch. Zipping Bailey the inside making ground, then Miss Wing Wong, Jamila Jett. They'll follow it up by Zipping Falcon. Rockstar Carl and Bimini can see them all midway down the back. Big Butters by two over Zipping Bailey. What's she going to do? Will she go the rails or hook to the outer? Till away to Awesome Catch. They swing the leader, Big Butters. Zipping Bailey to the outside. The leader is Big Butters. Zipping Bailey can't get it. Big Butters. Big Butters too good for Zipping Bailey. Awesome Catch in third position. Fourth maybe Zipping Falcon and a Miss Wing Wong. They'll follow by Jamila Jett, Rockstar Carl and Bimini at the tail, and their run time around 30 and 3.
Yeah, 30 and 30 to Big Butters, defeating Zipping Bailey for Jason McKay. So they qualify for the semi-finals coming up at Wentworth Park on Friday week. And joining us online this morning, Andrew Crouch is the trainer of Big Butters, but his son Adam is joining us this morning. Adam, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good. Adam, a very, very strong win by the bitch on Friday night there, Big Butters. She picked Shanghai'd out of the boxes, was able to set up that early break. Zipping Bailey gave chase down the back straight. Looks as though Zipping Bailey was going to make a race of it, but with her staying prowess, she just left him standing over the final stages and raced away to score by nearly two lengths on the line.
Yeah, no, it was a great win. As she got to the front, how strong she was and how hard she was going to be to run down. But yeah, Zipping Bailey's a top dog and it's going to have a massive future. But yeah, it was good to see her hold on and run away like she did.
I think the family might consider the final should be at Richmond, because she's unbeaten in four runs now over the 5:35 at Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond's definitely her favourite track. We'd much rather be there than Wentworth Park, but she'll be in it and she'll be doing her best. We'll see what we can do.
She's had the three wins over the 5:20 at Wentworth Park, and she's had two over the 7:20, and she's certainly creating a big following, Big Butters, particularly with a name. And your dad was telling me when I was talking to him yesterday that she had a fan club there, and they were chanting her name as she was going across the line there on Friday night.
Yeah, she's got a fair few followers up here in New South Wales, and the owner's got a lot of mates, and they all follow her on Facebook and stuff like that. So, no, it should be good, and hopefully a lot of them can get down for the semi-finals at Wentworth Park and cheer her on, and yeah, hopefully can bring a bit of luck with her.
Yeah, well, she was going okay over the sprinting journey early, and then you decided to step her up over the staying, and she's excelled over that. And recently she ran near record figures at the Gardens, going 34 and 22, and then you guys brought her back to the 5:35 at Richmond. Is there much in the preparation to bring them back from staying back to the sprinting?
With her, we changed a little bit. Like, it just shows how classy she is. She holds the truck record over 700 at the Gardens and then nearly broke it over 600, and now to drop back over 500 and beat a quality field like that. But, yeah, all credit goes to her. Like, we changed a few things in the training, but she's just all class. And, yeah, she's just a pleasure to train. And I think we could chuck her in over 300 and she'd do the same. So, you know, all credit goes to her.
So versatile over any distance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we could trial her wherever we go, and she'd run good time. And yeah, she's just the type of dog that begins well wherever she is and gets out in front and keeps going. So yeah, no, she's just been a pleasure to train, and we just kept her a bit fresher than we would have if she was racing over 700. But yeah, again, all credit goes to her. She's just a pleasure to train.
Now, the semi's coming up on the 12th of October. What about a preparation leading into the semis? Give her another run or two between there?
Yeah, we were just looking at that last night. We probably won't give her another race. We'll probably just give her a trial in between at Richmond or something, and possibly Wentworth Park, and just keep her fresh again and give her similar preparation to what she had prior to the heats at Richmond. And hopefully she can begin well like she did on Friday night. And yeah, if she gets out in front, then she'll be hard to run down. But it's definitely, they're going to be quality fields at Wentworth Park. So we just need a bit of luck. You never know.
But she'll have the track experience, and no doubt she'll be giving it her best shot to try and get through to the million-dollar final.
Yeah, exactly. Wherever she goes, she tries her hardest. So, yeah, that's all we can ask of her. And she may not be the quickest dog in the race, but she's probably going to be the smartest. So, yeah, you've seen stranger things happen in dog racing, so it'll be good.
Yeah, you certainly have. Now, what about your family's involvement in greyhound racing? It hasn't been all that long. Your dad's come from a harness racing background earlier in his career and only changed to greyhounds about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's correct. Growing up, Dad's always had trotters, and I just never really had an interest in them. And, about 6 or 7 years ago, as you said, it was just getting a bit stale with the horses and wanted to change. And we had a few friends that were in the greyhound industry. And yeah, that's when we thought, why not turn our stables into kennels? And yeah, we've gone from there and we've turned all our yards into dog yards and built dog kennels for them and stuff like that. And yeah, we've been pretty lucky. We've had a few pretty quick dogs. And it's been really good.
Now, what about where it all started for you in greyhound racing?
We started just getting giveaways and paying like $1,000 or $2,000 for cheap dogs off greyhound data, and yeah, it sort of just evolved from there into getting our own brood bitch and breeding our own litter. And the Big Butters litter was actually the first litter that we had bred and reared, and we've done everything with them, and there were a few real handy ones in that litter. And then it just evolved from there to spending more and more money on certain dogs, and we got a collection of owners that trust us with their dogs and are happy to spend the money on good dogs if we say that we like them and stuff like that. So it's been really good. So
Well, Adam, thanks for joining us this morning. It's been a great chat, and we wish you the best of luck going forward into the million-dollar series to the semi-final stage. And as you say, she's got her Facebook friends, and she's very, very popular in New South Wales, and we wish you and the family the best of luck going forward into the rest of the series.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
That's Adam Crouch joining us this morning. His dad, Andrew, trains Big Butters, who won the regional final at Richmond last Friday night. Well, going back to last Monday, they had the regional final at Grafton, and the favourite there was Coops for trainer Stephen Scott, and we might take a listen to the replay now of the Grafton Million Dollar Chase Series final.
Set and racing. Mozzarella missed the start. Mozzarella, in fact, and on the inside, Charlie Jazz has taken the early lead from on the outside of it, Bockarm Dean. Now Coops has got into the clearest and charging right up along the inside, looking for the law. Got into big trouble. They're all over the track. It's upside down here. Fabrique is a big danger now to the leader. They come to the turn. Charlie Jazz, Fabrique, and into the clear. Mozzarella is flying home, but Fabrique after a mix-up early stages has got the money. Second will go to Bockarm Dean, possibly the outsider, Charlie Jazz third. Well, Coops was right there, got itself into strong.
Well, Fabrique for Chris Reardon, trainer in Queensland, won the Grafton final in 27 at 82, defeating Bockarm Dean for John Antonelli. Both of those will go through to the semi-finals at Wentworth Park, and we've got winning trainer Chris Reardon coming online to join us from Queensland this morning. Chris, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, John. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Now, Chris, you train at a place called Bribey Island, which a lot of people mightn't know listening in New South Wales today. You might like to tell us where Bribey Island is.
Oh, it's just off the Bruce Highway at the Caboolture turn off. You turn left to go to Caboolture, you turn right and you go to Bribey Island. It's about, I think it's 18 k's or 19 k's, just straight down the road. It's the only island with a bridge on it in Queensland.
And it's midway between Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast, yeah, and there probably wouldn't be a lot of
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a lot of greyhound trainers on Bribie Island. And
there's a lot of retired ones, so I won't have far to go when I hang up the collar and leave.
Now, we were talking to the Crouch family a moment ago, and they've come from a harness racing background, and a similar theme with yourself, Chris. You were a harness racing trainer driver early in your career.
Yeah, I did that for 40 years. I must be a slow learner, but anyway, I did it for 40 years. And then I'd always followed the dogs. An uncle and another aunt had dogs, and I probably heard John O'Flaherty call his first race on 3YB, I think, when I was young, you know, only a teenager. I used to always listen to the Warrnambool races. And I've always followed them. I always knew I had the good dogs around the place. I wasn't a punter or anything on them, but I just used to like knowing where the good dogs were, you know. Mm.
So you left the cooler climate of Victoria to move to Queensland?
Well, I went to Macau with Ivan Jones to be stable foreman at the Trots in 81, I think it was. When I come back, I couldn't believe how cold Victoria was, so I moved straight to Queensland. I've never left since. I think Grafton's
never left
further
since.
South I've been for a long time to go to Grafton.
And that's a point in case where you've never travelled to Wentworth Park, so this is going to be a new experience for yourself.
Yeah, I never go that far on my holidays, so it will be. I've never been there, so I've seen it on telly a bit. So anyway, we're going on... we actually got them in on Wednesday. It's the best I can do is to give them a look at the track on Wednesday night.
Chris, you had a little bitch called Spirited Flame, and you had a lot of success with her earlier on, and she's the dam of this great litter that you've had over the last couple of years, and this is the Fabregas litter out of Spirited Flame. Fabrique was lucky enough to win there on Monday night. It was 4:30, and there was a bit of trouble at the top turn, and were able to get through along the inside and rail strongly in the straight to draw away and score. So, and as you say, you're heading to Wentworth Park to give them a look on Wednesday night. Fabrique has come up with box number 3 there on Wednesday night in a free-for-all.
Yeah, it's the third time he's had 3 in a row, so that part of it's all right. But it's really not your box, it's the run you get. Like, he missed the kick on Monday night. It was probably lucky he did, because then he got on the rail and there was a trouble. We're very lucky to win that race. But you have a lot of bad luck in your races too, so when you you're entitled to grab a good bit of luck every now and then. So that's just what happened.
And, Chris, you're also taking Fire to Rain down. It's in the... later race there on Wednesday night, and it's drawn box number 5. You've got the visitor's box there, but you had a lot of luck with Fire to Rain a couple of years ago, where you won the Vince Curry Memorial Maiden Series at Ipswich.
Yeah, and he had 5 in his heat, I think, and won his repercharge or his heat or whatever it was, and I think he had 1 in the final. But he doesn't mind, as long as he's in the car and going, he doesn't care what box he gets. He's really good. The other bloke's the problem. We won't know what we got till we get there and put him over the scales. He nearly got run out at, weighed out at Grafton, you know. That's only about a 6-hour trip, seven hours up, all up. And so we're going a day early, and from Macau, I've got my mate going with me, Ivan Jones, who's a stable foreman over there. He actually drove in a... He had a trained and drove in $1 million race and a $600,000 Governor's Cup in Macau for the birthday celebration. He ran second in the $1 million race, and he won the Governor's Cup. So we're leaving from Rudy Creek, so we'll probably have plenty to talk about till we get to Chindra.
So the good old days, and he can tell you what it's like to win your $1 million race.
No,
well, Chris, best of luck with...
Second
in that one. Well, we wish you the best of luck going forward into the semi-finals, and a safe trip down to Sydney, and all the best with Fabrique over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's been a good... It's a big series, isn't it? There's 63 other really good dogs going through, so someone will need a bit of luck, but someone's going to have a smile on their face at the end of the series, that's for sure.
It certainly will. Chris, best of luck. Thanks for
joining us
this morning.
Okay, see you around the traps, eh?
That is Chris Reardon, the trainer of Fabrique, joining us this morning here on Radio Sky Sports Radio. Now, we had the first of the Melbourne Cup preludes over the on Thursday night, and they had three preludes there, and Hasten Slowly was a winner for Angela Langton in 29:48. Neo Clio was the fastest heat winner, 29:33, and Orson Allen in 29:54. That was Sandown Park on Thursday night. Of course, speaking of Thursday night, we had the buy a bale promotion where every time a Box 5 runner was able to win around the country on Thursday night, the Greyhounds donated $1,000 for every win, and there were eight Greyhounds successful, so $8,000 plus $2,000 compliments of Greyhound Clubs Australia, and that made it $10,000 for the night to that worthwhile promotion, so to buy a bale for the drought-stricken farmers around the country at the moment. So well done to Greyhound Racing Industry. $10,000 goes to the way of the farmers. Well, over this long weekend every year in New South Wales, we head to the Coonamble Greyhound Carnival, and joining us online to tell us a little bit about the 2018 Carnival is Kevin Gordon. Kevin, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Johnny. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Now, as I said, each and every year at this time, we have the Coonamble Carnival. You might like to take our listeners through that don't know about the Carnival. How many actual races in the 3 days of the Carnival you have?
Yeah, we've got 71 races this year, John, and, you know, we did have a little concern that 2 years from the Mike Baird ban that we may have been a little bit short with the maidens, because that's the feature race here, the Ladbrokes maiden, but we ended up with 11 heats of the maiden, which is better than last year, actually. So 71 races over the whole carnival. Yeah, no, it's a great testament to the industry to support the carnival again this year.
And, of course, being non-TAB, you must head along to the track to see all the action. And it's one of those carnivals that have stood the test of time and obviously well-supported again this year.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And, I mean, we've got seven bookmakers here, which, you know, you're battling to get seven bookmakers at Randwick on a Saturday. So we've got seven bookmakers here fielding over the whole carnival. To date, and I just went and checked, expecting the score, but the hold so far is well over $300,000. With more to come because we've got a lot of races this afternoon. So, you know, we had there's a lot of money here in town. Like I say, over $300,000 held by seven bookmakers. We held 17,000 at the Calcutta yesterday, which was a record for the Calcutta. And the stud dog auction was $12,000 roughly we took. So, you know, there's a fair bit of money in town, and everyone loves coming to the Country Carnival. It stood the test of time over 55 years, and it will continue to do so.
Now, of course, as you mentioned, the maiden series is the big race over the carnival. The heats were run on Saturday afternoon, the 11 heats, and it was a Queenslander, Wild Ash Jakey, for Bob Gilton, and setting the track alight, running 17.27 of the 11 heats, the fastest winner.
Yes, that was the fastest, and Bob's actually got two in the final, the same as Dave Pringle's got two in the final. So between them, they have half the field. But 17.27, and the slowest was 17.84, so it was only sort of half a second between first to last. It's the box draw will be done this afternoon after Kenling. We always leave the box draw till after the Calcutta, obviously. So, I mean, Dennis Barnes with Nangar Diva, 17.62, Sam Keeping for Shemaine Roberts at 17.45, Sketchy Cohesion for Alan Ive at 17.66. So it's a very, very open race. I do know that Wild Dash Jakey did go 17.27, but there's a few hotties there on his tail.
All right, so Wild Ash Jakey's by Shaky Jakey out of Harbour Gift for Queensland trainer Bob Gilton.
That's true.
Kevin, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck with the remainder of the carnival today, and we'll give the results of the feature races there on the program next week, and long live the Coonamble Carnival.
Yeah, it's the only carnival of its kind left in Australia. It's a non-TAB carnival. That's why everyone comes here. That's why the seven bookmakers. So, yes, it will continue on to be bigger and better, I believe.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin, and good luck with the carnival this afternoon.
Thank you, John.
That's Kevin Gordon joining us from Coonamble as part of the big carnival, of the three-day carnival. They had Friday racing where they had 18 races, 20 races on Saturday, and again over 20 races there today. Looking at some news from Queensland, a media release was put out on Saturday from the Deputy Premier Treasurer, the Honourable Jackie Trad, and also local Minister for Racing, Stirling Hinchcliffe, that with the point of consumption tax being introduced as of today, Racing Queensland will receive a $20 million grant this financial year to be used on two new racing facilities, as well as additional financial support to ensure that there's no negative impact on Queensland racing. And those that $20 million grant is for two new racing facilities in harness and greyhound racing. As part of this package, the government will also forgive $17.8 million of debt owed to the Queensland government by Racing Queensland, putting them in a better financial position to keep growing this important industry. Unfortunately, there was no mention of monies going back into prize money. Also, this grant will be used for Queensland emergency helicopter services and also problem gambling and their families, and also community sport for younger generations. So not all money's going into the racing industry. Well, we might head across the ditch, and yesterday at Manukau, they ran the 2018 Waterloo Cup. It's New Zealand's oldest race, and the favourite was Penny Mac, drawn box number 5.
And away we go. Quistus Mail astride slow, early speed to the nail, and whipping round the outside. Blazing Carter finds the lead, but look at Little Penny. Penny Mac finds the lead here now from Blazing Carter. Then we go back, then out of Big Time Lily. Further back still is Ego Maniacal. A length or two there is to the nail, followed back there by Nature's Jet. Off the track a little is Dinah Dave, and last of all, Quistus Mail. Have a bow peep at a dog that's heading to Australia as he swings in here now, and his name's Penny Mac. He's kicked away two or three, the big boy. Penny Mac home, Blazing Carter second. Then we go Ego Maniacal followed here now by, we've got Big Time Lily up there too, was Nature's
Well, Penny Mac took out the Waterloo Cup, and Peter Fenimore from New Zealand is joining us this morning. Peter, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Johnny, and great to be speaking to you there. But fantastic effort by Penny Mac, of course, the former West Australian, and he just laid that field yesterday.
He was a little tardy to begin. He had to work in the first 20 or 30 metres to push through from box number 5, but once he got into the clear, saw daylight, and at the post the first time, he really put the issue beyond doubt.
Absolutely. Johnny, look, going into that first turn, he got the clear racing air he needed. He owns a phenomenal second sectional. He cut out that second sectional yesterday in 15 and 37, and that was a Group 1 event done and dusted at that time. Penny, he got home by 5 3/4 over Blazing Carter for Lisa Cole, and Ego Maniacal for the Fahey Kennels run up in third. But Penny Mac, 30 and 14 for his 5.27 metres, was just super.
Now, Penny Mac, with that win yesterday, is ballot from exemption from a heat of the Melbourne Cup, and Connections will take up that offer.
Yeah, that's correct there, Johnny. It's a great arrangement between the Sandown Park Greyhound and the Auckland Greyhound Racing Club. And the winner of the Waterloo Cup is exempt, well, has direct entry into a heat for the Melbourne Cup. And Steve Clark, the trainer, indicated straight afterwards that he would definitely be taking up that option. He's planning a hit and run mission over there. He will head over the Sandown, trial the Greyhound, and then race in the heat. But it's a great gesture from Sandown Park, and of course Mick Floyd, racing and media manager for Sandown Park. He actually brought the Melbourne Cup across to Auckland yesterday, and it was on display. And I've got a beautiful photo of Steve Clark and Penny Mac's owner, W. Parker, which will be going up on New Zealand Greyhound website shortly.
We've had a couple of gentlemen on earlier this morning, the Crouch family and also Chris Reardon in Brisbane, and Dudley Parker from Western Australia, who owns Penny Mac, was also previously involved in harness racing, as was those two previous gentlemen we spoke to this morning. So they saw the light and come across to the long tails.
Absolutely there, Johnny. Yeah, speaking of Dudley, after the race there yesterday, he said it was the biggest thrill of his life. He said 40 years involvement in harness racing, and he said this was the biggest win ever. He had never won a Group 1 race, and he was absolutely over the moon.
Well, that was the Waterloo Cup, and as I said, it's New Zealand's oldest race, first run in 1878 as a coursing event.
Yeah, that's correct. It's got a very long and colourful history, the Waterloo Cup. As you indicated there, Johnny, of course, in an event. And then it went on to the mechanical allure, as we know, ground racing today in 1951. It's been most hosted by the Auckland Club since that time at various venues that the club has raced at. Its first return to the current Manukau Stadium in 1989. And I've just got to add there, Johnny, Steve Clark, that was actually his fourth Waterloo Cup winner that he has trained. His first one was Magic Spike, another former West Australian Greyhound back in 2008. And all three of those previous Waterloo Cup winners are living the life of luxury with Steve out of his training, at his training base.
That is certainly a great effort for Steve there, and taking out his fourth cup yesterday. Now we look forward to the New Zealand Cup and Galaxy coming up in November, but you've got some other news as well about New Zealand now being invited to re-enter the national championships in Australia.
Very exciting news there, Johnny, and everybody in New Zealand is keenly looking forward to it. I understand your next nationals will be held and hosted in Sydney. Yes, fantastic news. What Greyhound Racing New Zealand has indicated that they will hold qualifying national heats in the South Island and the North Island, and then they'll come together for a national final. And that national final will be on the same day as what the other Australian states host their state finals.
Well, that's certainly good news for New Zealand Greyhound fans that at least they'll get a representative into the national final in New South Wales next year. Peter, thanks for joining us this morning, and we continue our chats with you over a period of time. And as I said, we all look forward to the New Zealand Cup and the Galaxy coming up in a couple of months' time.
Cheers, Johnny. Thanks very much for that.
That's Peter Fenimore joining us this morning. Well, Andrew, that just about wraps up show number one for me. And,
I reckon you've just powered up. I reckon you could do another one in 30 minutes, John, if we needed. You're warm to this, mate, and you'll get some good guests, particularly with the million-dollar chase building up over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, so we've got good feature racing coming up in the next week, Andrew. Of course, another four heats of the million-dollar chase at Wentworth Park coming up on Saturday night, and also heats of the Sydney Cup at Group 3 level will be staged at Wentworth Park Saturday night. Other feature races this week, we've got the heats of the Adelaide Cup on Thursday night. We've got the heats of the Gold Coast Cup at Albion Park on Thursday night at Group 3 level as well. And on Thursday night, or Friday night at Mandurah in the West, they've got heats of the Mandurah Cup over the 490. So plenty of feature racing over the next 7 days to whet our appetite, Andrew.
Good on you, John. We appreciate it. Welcome to the team on a Monday at 10:30 with Going Greyhounds, and we'll certainly hear your calls right through the week. We'll chat again next Monday.
Thanks, Andrew.